Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, and welcome back to P.S. I Hate This Movie, a podcast where we take a realistic look into the unrealistic world of romantic comedies. I'm your host, Sarah Hunt.
And my name is James Petragallo. Welcome to a special brand of hell this week.
Yes.
The worst.
A musical hell. Okay. If this is your first week with us,
wow.
Welcome. If this is not your first week with us, welcome back. And I mean, we mean the welcome and the welcome back, honestly, truly, from the bottom of our hearts. James, this is our 50th episode.
It is. It's number 50. We're very excited about 50.
We wanted to celebrate with something delightful. And we get a lot of feedback on our Grease episode. I think that's episode number 3.
Yeah.
That is the movie that actually inspired the, I guess, this show, because we realized that we really love to watch bad movies and make fun of them together, as yeah. I'm sure all of you do as well.
But we didn't have this in mind.
But we did not have this movie in mind at all. But we were like, Grease is our best episode, so let's do Grease 2. And I am full of regret.
We should not have done this.
This was a mistake. This.
And if you watched this movie so you could like listen to this episode and know, we're sorry. I apologize. Yeah. I'm sorry you listened to that. How far did you make it?
Yeah.
Because I had to get up several times and go outside and scream toward the heavens.
Excuse me. I tried to fast forward through a lot, and you said that we should watch it.
Well, if we're not, we have to know what's how bad it is, but I had to take breaks.
We fast forwarded through a bunch of other movies.
That was burlesque. That had nothing going on at all. That was a different story.
More than this movie, at least it had like, sort of a plot. Yeah. Grease 2 blows.
No, Grease 2 blows. You're right.
Okay. Burlesque so anyway, we watched Grease 2. Sorry, we took a week off. This is our 50th episode. Just a reminder, we're doing 3 weeks on, 1 week off. Here we are. We're back. We had 1 week off. Thank you for all of your Apple Podcast reviews. Thank you for your Patreon donations. Yes, we are on Patreon. Thank you for not asking. We're at patreon.com/YouGotHeigled, YOUGOTHEIGLD. We talk anything 90 Day Fiance, Below Deck. We do rom-com games like Plotsy, or we do make your own rom-com.
It'll be something funny, put it that way.
Yeah, it's always James
something
and I.
Funny
it's always us gabbing.
Usually her tormenting me with something. She's some game.
Tormenting.
You've whipped up some hellish
Excuse
game for me to participate in.
Number one, Plotsy is very fun.
It's good.
And so is
it
Make
is
Your Own Rom-Com.
It is fun.
So is Talking About 90 Day Fiancé.
No, that I love. That's a different story.
So is Talking
About I'm talking about
Deck.
The games. You'll come up with some game to basically to make
and
me look silly, which is fun.
It's not to make you look silly.
But I love it. I like looking
okay,
silly.
Anyway, it doesn't matter, because this week on Patreon, what we're going to do is we're going to do one of my most favorite activities. We are going to look at some old ads that I find online, like, you know, like old Kotex ads or old like they have
out of date
corsets.
Yeah,
just very out of date and the most odd ads.
Just tons of ads for opium.
It's really my favorite. One of them is an ad for laudanum.
Give your baby laudanum. It's like, no, don't give your baby laudanum.
It literally says, because a baby should be seen and not heard.
Yeah.
It's like, oh.
Yeah. Make your baby a zombie, a junkie zombie.
And, yeah. Okay. So we watched Grease 2.
That we did.
It is from 1982, 1 hour, 55 minutes.
Way too long. Could have been an hour 25 very easily.
And I would have
extremely
preferred.
Easily. Yeah. It feels like all the footage they shot, they somehow just found a way to put it in the movie. Like, even like some B-roll shit, they're like, well, we'll find a place for it. We'll just stick it in there.
No, this movie feels like we're being punished.
It doesn't feel like a movie. That's the thing.
No, it's the worst movie, non-movie that we've watched.
Yeah, it's not a movie. It's a concoction of scenes. It's weird.
This movie definitely was a punishment. In time, in everything, you are never not being assaulted.
constant songs, and none of them are good. They're not catchy. They all sound the same.
Yeah. Okay, so this movie is starring Michelle Pfeiffer, Maxwell Caulfield, and Lorna Luft, which I learned today that that's Judy Garland's daughter.
That's crazy.
Which it makes sense, because she is like Liza Minnelli.
Yeah, she belts some stuff out.
She's definitely...
hammy.
Well, if you can't handle me, darling.
Yeah.
She's very, like, she's a saucy broad. And I
down
love
on
Paula.
Broadway.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. The IMDb description. A British student at a 1960s American high school must prove himself to the leader of a girls' gang whose members can only date greasers. We don't learn that until like the end of the movie.
And none of these people are really that. It's not really a girl gang. They're not really greasers.
Well, and like also
none of this stuff is real. It's
so if you've watched the My Big Fat American Gypsy Wedding, like when those girl, like when if a gypsy girl is marrying a gorger who's like a non-gypsy person, they're like, oh, I'm dating a gorger, and the parents are like, no, you're not, and then they're like, yeah, I am. We're getting married. And then they're like, okay, I guess. Like, it's just fine.
Yeah.
So go out with whoever you want to go out with.
Yeah. No, we found out also in this movie that, okay, this is deep. Okay. Now, in Grease 1,
what?
The T-Birds and the Pink Ladies were like they were both separate entities that happened to affiliate with each other.
Independent of each other
that have come together under an affiliation, under some sort of agreement where they date each other and they're going to
they're
going to join forces.
Status brings them together. You've earned that spot as being a cool person.
Yeah,
so you date other cool people.
They're separately. They've decided that they're going to be affiliated with each other as the gangs.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Whereas in this film, we find out that apparently the Pink Ladies are just some like subsidiary made by the T-Birds, where the T-Birds themselves actually produce the Pink Lady jackets and distribute and recollect them.
It's a franchise.
It's a franchise of their like, oh, wait, we got to give a jacket to a lady. That's somebody
like
we go out.
Sister company. It's like you have to, because they really do.
It's fucking weird. I'm like, that wasn't how it was set up.
There's some kind of weird, like, there's like a contract almost, because they keep talking about this code. Okay, you know what?
Yeah,
we're getting ahead of ourselves.
Yeah, we're way ahead of ourselves.
Our fun facts, my fun facts are so fun this week, James. And I've got to tell you something. These fun facts, I did not do any digging. I didn't have to. Do you know why?
Why?
Because it has already come to the surface. That's how good it is that the good facts, like, you know what I mean? The cream always rises to the top.
Yeah, okay, I got you.
And we got cream right there on the... on the front of the trivia page. Okay, ready?
I'm ready as I'm going to get with this movie.
In a 2003 interview, Didi Khan, Frenchie, explained why her character, Frenchie, disappeared halfway into the movie. She said the script was unfinished when they began filming.
Not surprising.
But the draft they were using still included Frenchie. The character was written out during filming, and she was told halfway through that she was no longer needed. The filmmakers ultimately decided to include Frenchie in the final cut, though they had limited footage. Khan described the filming process as rushed, frantic, and unorganized.
That would be about what it looks like on screen. And you really did not need Frenchie in this movie.
No.
They used Frenchie in the beginning to say like, oh, well, I'll show you around because you're Sandy's cousin. But he doesn't need to be Sandy's cousin. He doesn't need to know Frenchie. He could just be some English kid who moved here. Yeah. That's fine. Sandy didn't have like some cousin.
Well,
showed up.
It's trying to bridge the worlds.
I get it.
Which is fine.
For
okay,
what?
So my second.
Yeah.
Fun fact, because it's really good. Okay. Original plans were for this to be the second installment in a franchise of 4 movies and a TV series.
Jesus Christ.
When the movie flopped, plans for a franchise were thrown out.
Thank God.
So Disney ended up adapting the unused script for the 3rd movie, which became High School Musical! We're
Jesus.
All in this together.
Right,
oh
this
my
makes
God.
Sense, this is a pile of shit.
That is,
so is
and
that,
that's
so.
Basically, that's like the same song. Remember the sad song at the end? It was like, we've graduated and now our lives are miserable.
Yeah, but it was still, we'll be together.
Yeah, but like in the first one, it's like, we go
shabop,
together.
Shabop.
Like da 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 da. And then the next one is like, let's
this is a slow version of it. Yeah.
The next one was the slow, like painful version. in High School Musical, I think, they have a song called We're All in This Together.
I don't care. I don't, I don't want to even know about it. High School Musical.
Okay, here we go. So
I don't care and I don't know.
It's a new school year, bitch. We got Blanche. We got the principal. They say it's a new school year. It's a new era. If the Russians can put a man in space, just imagine what we can do at Rydell. And imagine we don't have to do any longer because it's right there. We're singing and we're fucking dancing.
I was going to say,
boom.
Do you even bother talking about, like, this movie's not a movie, okay?
No.
There are more songs in this movie than anything I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Like, there's Broadway musicals with less fucking songs in it.
I'm not even kidding.
Yeah, like it's fucking wild. This has less songs than Newsies. It's crazy.
Yeah.
So, or more songs. It's fucking insane. So my point is, in Grease 1, okay?
Yeah.
The original Grease here. There's songs and then there's scenes and then the songs. And by the way, obviously I don't think Grease is a great movie, but
it's his favorite movie.
In practicality, like there's some dialogue and then the song that they sing drives forward the story.
Yeah.
It's about what's happening. And then like, it's like, there's like a resolution and they move on to the next thing, which makes sense.
They learn something.
In this, they just take song breaks where it's just, we'll just sing about bullshit for 4 minutes and then go back to it's so far out of it. By the time they go back to the movie, you don't even remember what the fuck was happening in the movie.
Yeah.
That's what's wrong. It's crazy.
Back to school. We're starting off the new year with a huge dance number, and it's the back to school one. The principal and Blanche are horrified, as they should be, because it's literally every student at the school kind of like attacking them, like moving in on like them, like singing and dancing, and they were like crawling. It was like, they're like, back to school.
Yeah, they were like kind of like up against the flagpole, like they were in deep trouble, and all these kids were coming in. And it's not just the T-Birds singing by themselves or the Pink Lady, the whole school is in on this.
I'm going to talk about this a lot during this episode, so prepare yourselves. I don't care. In Grease, the original, the T-Birds and the Pink Ladies could not be bothered to do anything that their peers were doing.
That was
the
point.
If they were doing it, you could absolutely guess and guarantee that they are off doing their own shit and they're not fucking...
They were too cool for that.
Yeah, they were too cool for that. I'm not gonna...
Yeah.
Like, they're never worried about getting good grades. They're not worried about... Like, they go hang out at the diner.
Danny had to hide when he did track.
Yeah.
So nobody made fun of him.
Yeah.
It was like, he's participating? What are you doing here? They're like doing their homework, going to talent shows.
Yeah, they're like, I gotta rewrite my paper. And it's like, do you hear Danny Zuko saying, I gotta rewrite my paper?
Yeah.
I've never heard Rizzo saying that.
They're
like, I'm gonna get a bad grade. It's like,
no.
I'm a big proponent for, it is cool to do well in school. It is cool to be smart. But it was just so funny because it just felt so forced. They're like, I got this leather jacket on and I got to get a good grade on my Shakespeare paper.
I'm a greaser. All I care about is fighting and my chick and my bike. But at the same time, really got to care about this Shakespeare paper. This Hamlet guy's got my head twisted. Like, what? No.
I got a 3.6 GPA. I'd really like to get it up. It's like, what are you doing?
You know, I don't want to go to no state college. It's gonna really bum me out. Only a private school is gonna be good for me.
They were like making fun of Zuko for having a Letterman's jacket. They're like, look at you.
Look at this guy. Because they don't care. Their whole thing is they're gonna be like mechanics or something, and they don't give a shit about high school. That was the point of the greasers and why they were like that. Whereas in this, it makes no sense. It's just like a weird showy thing. Like, none of them.
So we immediately meet Eugene from Grease 1. He was the nerd that everybody picked on in the first Grease.
Yeah.
And I understand that we're trying to, so we see the principal, we see Blanche, like we're trying to meet the old characters to be like, hey, you know, like it's good to have some familiar faces so that you're like, okay, I'm comfortable in this world. But didn't Eugene graduate?
Yeah, he definitely shouldn't still be in high school 3 years later.
Is he a teacher now?
I don't know, but he's like helping with the talent show where like they're yelling at him to drop leaves at a certain time. So I feel like he's getting the same role he was, but then no one's picking on him really.
No.
So he might be like a teacher's aide.
But he actually kind of like picks on the T-Birds.
A little bit. Yeah, yeah, yeah. A little bit.
They make everybody like stupid in this movie.
Yeah, everybody is.
Everybody is stupid except for the British guy. Everybody's dumb. The teachers are all terrified of teenagers, which I mean, teenagers are terrifying, but like they have no control over these kids at all. They're like, oh God, if there's a substitute teacher, everybody just gets out and they all leave. And then they're all humping each other and thrusting each other and another one singing a song. And like, but nobody can have control over the kids. And then like the T-Birds. The what was that guy? The T-Birds in the first one.
It
was no. The T-Birds in the first one. Duty and Potsy and
Kaneki.
No. The other one. So it's Zuko and
blonde
Kaneki.
One, the fat one,
yeah,
Kaneki
Potsy,
and Travolta.
Yeah, but I'm trying to remember. Like I don't remember their names.
No.
I just remember Duty and Potsy.
Yeah, fat one, blonde one, Kaneki,
and then
Travolta.
One of the Tucci's. But anyway, Zuko and Kaneki were like cool, and the other three were dumb.
Yes, and the other
and they
were
like
their lackeys.
They're like, you know, they're like the Three Stooges, where they're and they're all like, you know, running around and they're like being little comedians and whatever. But like Danny, Zuko, and Kaneki
He'd
were
be like,
the cool
cut it
ones.
Out already. You're embarrassing us.
Yeah, exactly.
In this one. The Danny Zuko character and the Kaneki character are embarrassingly stupid.
Yeah, they're dumber than...
the
other guys are like... Huh?
The other three are like... They're very dumb, but they're often smarter than the other two. Than Shooter McGavin and Adrian Zemed.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, they are a little bit. Yeah, Adrian Zemed as being the Danny Zuko character really has no... He portrays no form of leadership.
No.
He has no charisma whatsoever.
James calls him non-Travolta.
Non-Travolta, yeah. He's just this... He's awful.
Okay, so the pink ladies have no regard for parking. They park wherever. They have this 60s car, and it looks old and whatever. But let me tell you something. It looks like it doesn't belong in this movie. But this movie takes place in the 60s.
Yeah.
This movie, everybody looks very 80s.
Oh, God.
Like, in the first Grease, and I'm so annoyed with us. We should stop talking about the first Grease.
Well, no, it's Grease 2.
I know.
So
it's not Grease, 2.
But it puts
T-O-O.
Itself up to comparisons to the first Grease if you're going to make an identical fucking Grease movie.
The 70s, like when this movie was filmed in 1977 for Grease 1.
Grease 1,
and
not this one.
It's supposed to take place in like 1959.
Yeah.
Where like in the 70s and then the 50s, those two eras go together. They match
in a weird way.
Well, like, you
in
know,
a weird way. Yeah.
John Travolta's wearing that huge like lapel on his outfit at the dance contest at the end.
Yeah. Which,
but that looks like it might be something that his 50s character would wear.
Well, somehow the musical things melded too, which was strange. But like they sounded like that could be a 50s song or a 70s song. That's why there were songs in Grease that were pop hits.
And then these songs sound like Jesse's Girl or like Steely Dan or something
There's
really
no era to them whatsoever. And Michelle Pfeiffer looks like Belinda Carlisle.
She looks like she's on an audition to Bananarama.
Or the Go-Go's or something. She literally looks like Vacation. That's what she looks like she's going to sing any minute. She's got Farrah Fawcett hair and Belinda Carlisle bangs and 80s sunglasses.
These like fucking Jim McMahon sunglasses.
Exactly, Jim McMahon, that's exactly what they are. She wears, at one point, she has on like tight jeans that are rolled up a couple times, like halfway up her shin, with like these gold strappy high heels, where I'm like, she looks like fucking Tony Montana's girlfriend now. She looks like Michelle Pfeiffer from Scarface. That's not even, it's like,
that's
where
not, yeah.
What era are you from, lady?
Not good.
It's awful.
And like, they wear, like, in this first scene, Michelle Pfeiffer is wearing, they're wearing the pink ladies jacket, which it's the same jacket, but she's wearing this, like, light electric blue shirt, which wouldn't have existed.
It's like aquamarine. You're
it
like,
wouldn't have existed.
Very 80s.
In 61.
No, she got that at a mall in 1981 in Sherman Oaks.
And everybody in the first movie, they're wearing, like, either white, red, black, or they're wearing, like, plaid, or...
Yeah, they're very
gingham or something like that. Like they're wearing like a skirt, like a poodle skirt or something like that. Like
they pop. You know who they are. The guys have white t-shirt, black leather jacket. Like you see them. This they're not. They're wearing all different shit. In the end scene, the one guy diving, the one by himself, he's got like a pink polo shirt on. I'm like, what the fuck is he wearing? He's supposed to be a in like a fucking quote unquote motorcycle gang. He looks like somebody's dad's going to play fucking golf on Mother's Day. Yeah, this is ridiculous.
I'm taking a lot of issue with this. But anyway, so the electric blue outfit, Rizzo would never.
No.
Here come the T-Birds. We got Shooter McGavin and the rest of the 40-year-olds. It seems age-appropriate that they're all lusting after the teacher who looks like she's...
in her 40s.
What was that one lady
40s.
That did? She was on Step by Step, the mom on Step by Step.
Suzanne Summers?
Yeah. She kind of looks company. Suzanne Summers.
A little bit, she's got like an older Suzanne Summers, Thigh Master vibe.
And so my question for this is, why would you keep the same groups if you're not going to keep the same coolness? The Pink Ladies of the T-Birds, the jackets are cool, they're iconic. But I mean, like, that was...
You want the first group of T-Birds and Pink Ladies to come in and strip these Pink Ladies and T-Birds of their jackets and say you've disgraced the club and you're no longer allowed to wear
Kinnicky would be very upset.
Kinnicky would be very... Especially with his home life, as we talked about. Kinnicky and his terrible home life. I don't know what's up with Shooter McGavin's home life.
Yeah.
I don't know his home life at that point. I don't know any of their home lives. Danny Zuko seems like he's from a very supportive family in this movie. Yeah. Whereas in the first movie, I don't get that vibe. So.
And the funny thing is that this movie, I think it takes place, what, 4 years afterwards?
It's like 1962.
It's 61.
So it's 2 years later.
So, but it's just weird because...
It seems like it's 1982.
It seems like they're so far. Okay, Frenchie's back. She has her Pink Ladies jacket. She meets up with this guy who's coming off the bus. She says, oh, you're Sandy's cousin from England. And he's like, oh, yeah, thanks. And she says, I told Sandy that any cousin of yours is a cousin of mine, which is, I guess, whatever. But
yeah.
Very good expository dialogue here.
This is the other thing. Like I said, didn't need Frenchie. He didn't need to be Sandy's cousin. Could have just been a guy from England.
Didn't want to know who this guy is.
Didn't care.
I wanted to know if Sandy and Danny died when they were flying their car. Are they still together?
Are they dead?
What's happening? How did Sandy tell you this? Because Frenchie does see Frankie Avalon in the sky.
Presumably Sandy and Danny are alive to bridge the cousin gap. But the other thing they make is...
bridge the cousin gap.
That I don't understand here about Frenchie is they had to shoehorn her in somewhere to why she'd be hanging around the school. So... She explains that she dropped out of beauty school or flunked out of beauty school after she turned her hair pink. So now she's there so she can use the high school chemistry lab to make perfume.
Cosmetics.
So she is just a scientist now using the high school chemistry lab to mix cosmetics of some kind. That's a really weird excuse.
That's a great thing because she says that she drops out of high school. So you're like... I guess if you're watching Grease 2 and you didn't watch Grease 1, you're like, who's this chick? And then she's like, listen, I dropped out of high school and then I went to beauty school, which I flunked out of that too. So here I am 4 years later, finally finishing high school. Like, what? Is there not like a community college or something that you can go to or like a beauty school? Like, are you not allowed to go back?
I didn't feel like she was... going to school. I feel like because she was an alumni of the school, they were letting her use the chemistry lab to make cosmetics. That's what it seemed like to me.
Okay.
Like she was just coming back to hang around.
But she had a Riedel binder.
Yeah, but she's got to keep her chemistry, she got to keep like her formulas in there, right? She's a scientist, right? I mean, Frenchie's obviously a scientist. I mean, clearly.
And she also had her Pink Ladies outfit on.
Well, I think she wears that jacket anyway. I mean, she's going to go to Riedel. If you're gonna go to Rome and you have, I think it's one of those. But
we're 6 minutes into the movie and we still have no.
I was done 6 minutes into this fucking movie. Neither does the movie. That's why. It just spins its wheels.
Sid Caesar is back. I thought he retired, but that's okay.
I'm happy to see him anyway.
We're just happy that he's here. The whole opening number is about going back to school and that you got to get up and make sure that you, you know, are early and not late to school because you have to sing a 10-minute number before you get to class.
It's like a 6-minute number about your parents waking you up for school and you have to get to school.
Do they have to, like, when they get home, do they have to go home from school?
Home from school. I took the bus today. It dropped me off outside of my house today. None of the songs rhyme. That's why I'm singing it like that. None of the songs rhymed. They were these
home
songs.
From
home from school. Home from school. These songs all sound like the whole group of kids that was waiting to sing them were standing there while some guy scribbled it out on a napkin. And they're like, you almost done? He's like, hold on 1 minute. Wait, I need the second chorus. Home from school. All right, oh, yeah, I'm almost done. He just scribbled it out. And he's like, here, distribute that to everybody. And some PA copied the napkin and gave it to everybody. And they're all like, okay, sure, we'll sing it.
My will to live is fleeting. Back to school is over. Michelle Pfeiffer and the Pink Ladies convene with the T-Birds before school. It seems to us and to everyone in the movie, except for Non Travolta, that Michelle Pfeiffer, the Fifes, has broken up with Non Travolta. It's over. Don't even think about it anymore. Everybody has a weird New York accent, especially Shooter McGavin. He's like, hey, yo, what's going on over here?
Hey,
like,
what are yous doing? And they say yous in this movie. Yeah.
And he says, forget about it.
And they're clearly, it's obvious that they're in California in this movie. Like, there's they don't even try to hide it. They just show big fucking bare mountains in the background at some point. Like, because Rydell in Greece is supposed to be kind of like, originally Greece is set in Chicago, as we went over in the first thing. But then it's kind of this nebulous whatever in Greece, because in the movie, because there's a beach nearby.
Yeah.
There's an ocean, but it's also Chicago, but it's also California. But they
also
talk
New
like
Jersey.
They. Yes, whatever. But this is just a bunch of kids from Brooklyn that they put into a California high school.
Yeah. And so Eugene is walking the British guy through the school, and he's like, you better get a locker right away because, you know, trust me, like, I went here, like, you know, look at me, I got beat up all the time.
They'll steal everything, he says.
And the T-Birds start bullying Sandy's cousin Michael over lockers. They're like, hey, don't touch those lockers. Like,
hey, this is our area. This is a private area.
This is our
lockers.
Turf.
That's their turf. Four lockers.
The principal and Blanche are doing the morning announcements. We learn that the students give one of the teachers mental exhaustion and also a heart attack.
Him drop dead on a desk.
He's like shaking when he's drinking water, and they're like, we want to thank this guy for coming back after he had mental exhaustion in the spring. And then, you know,
and then, he
just like drops fucking dead
fucking
right there.
Keels over.
They're sexually aggressive with the Suzanne Summers teacher.
Oh, yeah.
We go to gym. Like, the gym part of Grease 1 was fun because you're like, you know, you're doing track and you're long distance running.
Long
like there's like
distance
a,
running.
There's like a beauty to it, where as this it was
there's
like,
no beauty, but
there's no beauty.
Something to it. This is just I don't even know what the fuck they're doing. They just sent a bunch of kids out in the field and they were like, I don't know, hang out here for 45 minutes.
Frenchie tells the British guy not to go out with because he sees Michelle Pfeiffer, and Michael's like, oh, like, I like her. And she says, oh, come on, like, don't go out with her. And I kind of was upset.
She looks like she's in Bananarama.
Yeah, she's
very attractive.
She's weird. No, but like, okay, so what I didn't understand is Frenchie is discouraging him having a crush on Michelle Pfeiffer, and she's not like, oh, you should see if you can be one of the T-Birds. Like, I can talk to
Non
Travolta, because she was the one.
Non-Travolta.
She was the one that was championing, like, let's adopt Sandy and like, let's make her one of the cool people.
She's gonna be a pink lady.
So she's gonna be one of us. And then Sandy had to go through the hazing process, whereas with Michael, she's like, just don't even bother. Like, you're not gonna get in. It's a, you know, it's a tradition. It's, you have to be part of this bloodline. Like, you're never gonna like, that's what she makes it seem like.
And that's what I thought in the beginning of this movie. That is what I thought was gonna happen. Was I thought that
he was
basically
gonna, like, audition?
Not audition, but he was gonna be like kind of pushed into into the T-Birds where they're like, yeah, right, we'll let this dweeb hang out with us. And like, he was going to be around them, but they were always like, this guy's a jerk, you know, like they were going to be making fun of him and, you know, calling him a whatever the hell. And
when he was doing their homework for them, I thought that they would make him like an honorary T-Bird.
I thought at that, that's how I thought it would start. And then they'd be like, yeah, this guy with his brains. But then he'd always kind of be there with them, kind of like Sandy was with the Pink Ladies while they were singing songs about her and shit. That's kind of what I thought it was going to happen. But no, there is no plot.
No, there's no, it's just the weirdest movie in the whole world.
The only plot that I could decipher before we go any further, sorry, is that the English guy wants to bang Michelle Pfeiffer. That's a vague thing. And then that
that's
there's
not
a,
vague.
Well, it's not vague, but I don't care about him or her. Like, that's not enough for a whole plot of a movie that he wants to bang her. Like, who cares?
Yeah.
And then the only other secondary plot is that the there's a talent show at the end of this, and the winner gets not a bunch of money or something, the winner gets 100 albums.
Yeah, that was upsetting because in the first
records.
One, you're like, okay, like this is just a movie about high school kids in Greece.
Yeah.
And now this is high school kids in 1959, and this is what they were up to. But the dance thing was not the thing. It was Thunder Road.
Thunder Road was the thing. The dance thing caused Thunder Road. It made, because it was the whole thing with Cha-Cha and all that shit. Like, the dance thing was a part of the beef.
Yeah, because Thunder Road was like, there's always this ominous, like, oh God, the crater face guy.
Yeah.
My dad's friends keep terrorizing me.
Yeah, for some reason, my dad's friends won't leave us alone.
My uncle keeps fucking taunting me at high school, and it's not cool. But like, this one, it's like you meet Crater Face and his gang a couple of times, but they're never doing anything except for like cackling wildly.
They just show up and cackle and then right away.
And they only terrorize the luo.
Yeah, and gym class. They ride their, bikes.
Well, they're on gym class right now.
Which is fucking, we have to kind of address this right away. Crater Face, the bad guy, in the first movie, looked like he was 46 years old. And now this is years later, and he's still showing up, not only like running into high school kids and wanting to beat them up for some reason, rather than worrying about his own high school kids he's got at home who he's has to support and worry about them going to college in a few years.
He may have been 19 or 20 in the first Grease, and now he's like 22.
In the movie, you mean? In real life, you look at him, this guy is clearly in his late 40s. But him and his gang show up at a high school.
Riding their motorcycles on the track.
Right onto the track to stop, look at the T-Birds, and then cackle and ride away. That's it.
And it's weird because the T-Birds are like actually participating at gym, whereas normally, because they're cool, they would be on the bleachers like,
smoking.
I'm not doing shit. I'm going to eat
look
potato
at this
chips.
Dweeb.
I'm going to look up gals' skirts. I mean, I don't condone that behavior,
but that's what
those are what the greasers would do.
Yeah.
So they're actually trying at gym. It's weird.
And we should also mention that instead of cars in this movie, it's motorcycles.
Yes, it's all motorcycles.
It's all motorcycles, and they don't call them bikes like anybody.
It's cycles.
It's cycles, which I don't know who the fuck decided. I don't know who wrote this what they thought or whatever. But
the T-Birds challenge Crater Face and the rest of the gang from the. I don't even know what that's called right now.
What? The T-Birds?
The Elks Lodge. The rest of the guys from the Elks Lodge, the T-Birds challenge them to a bowling tournament.
Me and the fellas from the Knights of Columbus are challenging all of us to
they're
a match.
They're high school kids, and they're like, we're going to go bowling. Like, you know, we're going to...
Oh,
like,
God, the bowling in this movie. Yet there's no... I thought there'd be like a bowling showdown.
No.
It's just
a bowling show.
It has no bearing on the plot.
No.
Bowling fucking ever. They just do it sometimes.
Because I wrote here that a bowling tournament does seem safer than Thunder Road, because Thunder Road, Danny Zuko needed to name... Oh, no. Kinnicky needed to name Danny Zuko as second. Like, you know, you're going to...
It's dangerous.
I'm clearly going to die, so...
Well, you could have made, like, a bowling tournament kind of like... You know, could have done, like, Kingpin and made it kind of overblown and made it funny, but this is just...
No, they really love bowling as a hobby. It's cool.
Like you said, the script wasn't finished. It feels like all the actors showed up, not only on the days there was a song, but on any other day, and they were like, all right, what are we doing? And they were like, hold on a minute, we're not waiting, we'll tell you in a second. And they're like, okay.
They're like calling around to places, we need somewhere to film, and then the only place that said that they could film there was Bowl-O-Rama.
Yeah,
and they're
so
like, hell
well,
yeah,
mean,
let's go do that. My uncle owns
a bowling alley. Yeah. Well, you know what? They're bowlers now.
Like,
I gotta write a song about fucking bowling now. All right, give me 5 minutes, I'll write a song about bowling.
Like in Mad Men, Duck Phillips being like, I don't care who you have to ask, your father-in-law or anybody, we're gonna get new clients, damn it. It's like, okay, yeah, we're gonna fucking get a venue and it's gonna be bowling. Sure, thanks.
That's it. Yeah, bowling something.
Everyone has like a specialized bowling uniform, like the T-Birds, they have their own little bowling uniform, but like each of them has a different one.
Yeah,
in the first one they all wear the same thing like all the time.
Yeah, white fucking t-shirt, mm-hmm, black leather jacket, that's it.
And I also feel like I don't know if bowling is really a thing. And I asked my mom, I mean, my mom was born in 1965, so I'm not saying that my mom would know, but like, I was like, did it seem like bowling was like a big deal in the 60s? And she goes, I mean, not really.
No.
And then she goes,
it's not.
And she goes, people bowled because
people have always
were bowling.
Yeah.
But yeah, she's
especially
just
they're
like,
from the Midwest. In Illinois, people bowl no matter what because it's cold.
But I
out.
Liked
but
the diner where
the diner was more
Viola
realistic.
Worked.
Yeah.
I think that was what her name was. And the diner is 10 times cooler than a bowling alley because you have milkshakes.
Well, bowling alleys, old men hang out, old men who, you know, old men with pitchers of beers hang out at bowling alleys.
Yeah.
Not like, or the kids would hang out at bowling alleys and they'd like play arcade games and smoke and, you know, try to get somebody to buy them beer or something, but they wouldn't actually be like having
let's
full-on bowling tournaments.
Did anybody
and singing songs about it?
Yeah.
But you were saying you asked your mom. I don't think it was big because we've heard about everything. We've seen movies from back then. We've heard all the songs. Do they ever mention bowling in one?
No.
Do the Beach Boys ever mention bowling? We're going to go, we're all going to get in the Woody, and we're going to go to the beach, and we're going to surf, and then hit the alleys afterwards and try to fucking bowl a 240. I've never heard that.
Round, get around. My ball is round. Yeah. Get around. Knock the pins down.
What the fuck, man? That's what it seems. Yeah.
I bowl around.
Instead of 409, it's called 300.
Yeah.
Fucking no. That's never happened before.
strike. I bowled a strike. Yeah.
Strike. I just got a turkey. Yeah. No, that's never happened. So I don't think it was like any bigger than it was any other time.
We should rewrite some more songs. Like we're more 60s songs where bowling is more
sure
of a thing.
Why not? In this movie, they should have. They needed to.
Like the leader of the pack?
Yeah. Something about the lanes. Oh, God.
The leader of the lanes. Broom, broom. No,
pins.
The pins.
Dude, this is what I'm saying. Like, this movie makes no sense. It puts its own... It's the most nonsense I've ever fucking seen based on John Travolta's hairstyle in 1977.
Yeah.
That's what the movie's based on.
So, non-Travolta is all over Paulette, who's Judy Garland's daughter. And earlier in the day, he's like, what's up? How come we're not going out anymore, Michelle Pfeiffer? And she's like, you know, it's totally over. And at the bowling alley, Paulette's like, what am I, chopped liver? Like, what happened?
Yeah, hey, look at me.
And she looks great. I love these gold pants on her in this scene. But it was just weird because he's like, how come you have such an attitude today, you know, Michelle Pfeiffer? And she's like, I told you, you know, Adrian Zemed, we're not dating anymore.
I'm dating Tony Montana now. You know that.
Yeah. I told you I'm going out with Tony Montana.
It's
over. No. And then it's just weird because so then, you know, that argument kind of dissipates.
You know, my womb is polluted. It's just, I'm sorry.
Yeah. I'm a basehead. What's happening? No.
Can we just talk about Michael Bolton singing that rather than this fucking song, this movie?
The tale.
Let's just talk about that for the next half hour and then tell everybody goodbye.
Because this is what we're doing. Okay.
Oh, God.
We've made our bed and now we must lie in it.
Oh, no. We watched it. We're talking about it.
That argument dissipates.
I'm going to die.
And Shooter McGavin and the rest of the T-Birds are like, what's going on, like, with you and Paulette? And he says that he's helping her out with one of her diseases, which is nymphomania, which is
nymphoid mania.
Yeah, it's just weird that, like, he's so stupid. Because
yeah,
even if Danny Zuko is stupid, he's smart enough to not talk that much.
Yeah, he'd just make a face and be like, hey, what are you talking about? And he'd smoke and look cool.
And then pull his collar up.
When in doubt,
that's cool.
Try to look cool and smoke. Don't say something dumb.
Yeah.
That's how you did it in the 50s and 60s.
The Travolta way.
You could always get yourself a few seconds, because if you needed a second to think about something, you could always light a cigarette.
Or so you could sing, like they do in this movie.
And they wait for the music to kick in.
Yeah. They start singing, and they start singing the, we're gonna score tonight.
Tonight. It's literally a bowling song.
It's a bunch of sexual innuendo and bowling, which I've never, ever once thought that bowling could be this sexy. But they definitely make it very sexy.
And the other thing in this movie, like we said in the beginning scene, which maybe that's just the beginning of school, so all the kids are going to sing about school. In this scene, it starts out with the Pink Ladies and the T-Birds are, you know, doing this musical. Everybody in the whole bowling alley joins in. The old guys, like, in league bowling are, like, dancing along to it. The fucking guy spraying the shoes is dancing along to it. Everybody's in it.
They're all like big numbers.
They're big numbers. People are like throwing a ball down the lane and then like doing a somersault into the lane with like a big, like, you know, Broadway fucking ta-da.
Racking the ball around, you know, 8 times together and then like synchronized bowling. It's it was wild.
Fucking bonkers. It's crazy.
They're supposed to be cooler than everybody else, but they are just as conforming as everybody else, except for Michelle Pfeiffer. She's wearing her Jim McMahon sunglasses indoors while bowling.
She's got like Oakley frog skins on.
Yeah.
From like the fucking 80s, basically.
We're like 20 minutes in, and now I'm trying to leave my body. Non Travolta is arguing again with Michelle Pfeiffer, and Michelle Pfeiffer says that she's nobody's trophy, and she says that she's going to, I think, I don't know, make out with the next guy that walks in, and then she runs into the British guy, and she makes out with him. Dolores, the littler one of the Pink Ladies, is the actual cool person. She's giving the British guy like cool tips. She says, like, you gotta have a cycle or be a biker's old lady. And I laughed because I was like, you gotta have a cycle or have a motorcycle.
Yeah. Oh.
It's a period joke. Oh, yeah. Just like what everybody thinks that ladies joke about. We do. Ladies have cycles.
There's a lot of cycle talk in this movie.
Tons of cycle
talk. Too much cycle.
Back to school, the T-Birds want to participate in the talent show. No, they do not. They go up to the bulletin board and they see like, oh, the talent show, and they're like, oh, 100 albums. Like,
yeah.
Oh,
we going to win that.
But
yeah.
they got to share it between the 5 of them.
That's mean, they got to share 25 albums apiece, I guess. And then I don't get what the fucking end game is there. And they got a bunch of albums. Like, who cares? And they were looking at it. They're like, oh, there's some crappy albums there, too. Like, it's not even 100 good albums. You don't get to pick 100 albums.
And I have a problem.
What?
Because the prize is albums, but we never see the albums. And then the way that they judge the talent show is they have the king and queen of the talent show. So
that's
like one person from each fucking group, like whatever, you know, outstanding female artist performance and then outstanding male artist performance. And then it's like, yeah, so
it's,
you know,
a talent show where you would think the group wins the albums, whatever the winning talent is. But instead, at the end, they go, the king and queen of the talent show are, and then pick a king and a queen from two different groups and put them together. You're like, what is happening?
Since the Pink Ladies are a subsidiary of the T-Birds, you think that they would be like, we should check to see if the girls will also be participating in the talent show, because then do they not have to share the albums with the Pink Ladies?
Apparently
as well?
So.
Because a win for the Pink Ladies is a win for the T-Birds, surely.
Who knows if they look at it like that. I feel like maybe there's some friendly competition. Like,
well, they think that they own their jackets, so I think that they definitely have to... Yeah.
Wow.
We'd like to know a lot about your franchising opportunities.
Let's see. Yeah. Are you open to future franchises?
Ooh,
have you looked into the West?
Can we
Western
buy
United
a franchise
States?
From you?
Well, that's what I was getting at. What are we talking about here? Maybe
okay,
we can.
I would like mine to be called the Broads. Whatever you want to call yours is fine.
I don't know. I'm going to have a bowling alley there, though, for sure.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
For sure.
We're going to score.
Yeah. I got to be able to. Have we gotten to the fucking reproduction?
No, not yet. The principal is yelling at people in the hallway like they do in Grease 1. Except for she's not as terrifying. There's another dance number. They're doing, like, they're practicing for the talent show. The British guy, Michael, is playing the piano. We don't know anything about any of his skills. He just shows up and he's always in the background of every thing. And I love whatever song he's playing. I love that Dolores says, "This song stink or what?" I love her.
"This song stink or what?"
Dolores is my best friend.
She's the young one, right?
Yes.
She's Paulette's sister.
Paulette's little sister.
Yeah.
We have another musical number. They're doing "I'll Be Your Girl for All Seasons." That's all the Pink Ladies. That's what they're doing. The British guy is asking Michelle Pfeiffer if she's free after school. And in a very 80s line fashion, she says, "Yeah, I'm free every day. It's in the Constitution." Blah.
Yeah, but then doesn't go out.
Never
with him.
Translates. Yeah, she says Jesus. This is why nobody likes teenagers.
God damn it.
They always think that they're clever.
Nothing is clever about this movie.
No.
Nothing.
British man is very persistent about asking the Fife out. So he says, "How about tomorrow?" She says, "No, I can't." And then, "How about the day after tomorrow?" Etc. Then she's trying to get it through to him, like, "No, I'm not going to go out with you." And then she sings her own personal number. It was "Cool Rider." So she's saying, like, "Look, I'm not going to go out with you unless you ride motorcycles."
Yeah, then she sang a song about...
Cool Rider.
Again, the song that's neither 80s nor 60s. It's none of these songs fit in either decade. That's what I don't get.
I'm surprised that you didn't ask if that was Michelle Pfeiffer that we got her in, because that was a really great impression.
It was. Thank you, Michelle. Thank you. We appreciate everything. Thank you. You can wash your hands on that. Please. Thank you. It's really sweet of her to come all the way here just for that. I mean, honestly, she said, "You want me to sit in on the whole episode?" And
only for the cool rider thing,
you know,
and then just leave.
Pop up for cool rider and then take off. That's cool. She could be overbearing.
So she does this whole thing, and then she just runs off into the campus, into the courtyard. She runs off into the courtyard singing cool rider, and nobody's like, "What is she doing?"
Not only
Why?
Singing, dancing.
Yeah.
She's fucking like, she's doing
cool,
like a... Yeah.
Cool rider.
Yeah, like an 80s video person would like dance around like a Belinda Carlisle video, basically. She's doing this.
Like, "Take on me."
Dances out the thing. Yeah. She dances right next to people who are just engaged in conversation.
Yeah.
They don't even look up to go, "Who's this person singing loudly and dancing this by us?" They don't even care.
Next scene, one of the T-Birds wants the British guy to do his homework. And then he says that he doesn't want to be seen in public with the British guy because it's not cool.
Meanwhile, he's standing next to him telling him this.
Standing next to him in front of school.
It's like, when you hand me the homework, though, we got to do it secret. I got a reputation to uphold. And it's like, you're standing next to him now, fucking dildo. What are you talking about?
Yes. And also, like, don't worry about it because you're already participating in the talent show and you're dancing at the bowling alley. So nothing that you're doing is cool right now. So it's
homework.
Cool. Yeah. The kids, that they're just... Okay. So now everybody's asking... the British guy to do their homework. So like, this guy would have no time to do anything because he's literally doing like six people's homework.
He's doing everybody's homework. Yeah.
He's doing all of the T-Birds' homework, and then he's doing, because he's saving up money for a motorcycle.
There you go. That's the point
so
of this whole thing.
So he's doing all of the T-Birds' homework, which is like, that's four of them right there. That would take up a lot of time.
Same penmanship, same voice.
No. He does different penmanship, and like sometimes he gets ink all over it. Like he does, like
he's dedicated to his craft. Yeah, he's a dedicated forger.
And it's the teachers never are like, "Wow, you guys all magically got a good vocabulary. You can write academically. It's really great. That's
awesome.
When did
you get smart, all of you?"
So
bunch of mooks.
Now we're learning about the best. We're in science class and we're with the substitute teacher that took over the one that had mental exhaustion. We're learning about what the best time of the month is to conceive. We have a uterus and a pair of ovaries up on the board here, drawn in chalk. He's asking all the students what when the best time to conceive is. And one of them says at night, obviously, because gross. This is about pollination, and now we have reproduction. Nothing like a bunch of horned up 40-year-olds pretending to be teenagers thrusting at each other.
This is the thrustiest. They're just thrusting and singing.
Reproduction.
And none of the songs are catchy, and this is one of them where they really want it to be catchy, and it's really not catchy. It's just...
No, it's very catchy.
It's none of these songs stick in your head at all.
Reproduction.
No.
Yeah.
Reproduction sucks.
I didn't say it was good. I just said it stuck in your head.
It doesn't even rhyme most of the song. It's just fucking...
No,
it's embarrassing.
It's really gross. And they're all like humping at each other, but the boys are on one side of the classroom and the girls are on the other side of the classroom. So the boys are really like humping on each other and they're, you know, the girls are like squeezing their boobs together and like, come get some of this. And then it's like, one of the words in there was like that they get their lustful dust for pollination. I was like, oh,
yeah. Yeah. Well, yuck. What did that one chick say? She got up and said something real like, something about her stamen or some shit. I don't know, getting her stamen all stimulated or something. And I was what the fuck is happening here? And the other guy was like, I got your pistol right here. And he was thrusting at her.
Yeah. So
what is happening?
The dumb thing is for Grease 1, they had a lot of like kind of sexual innuendo, but you could definitely tell that they were teenagers because, you know, they're like, oh, what happened at the beach, Danny? And he's like, nah, I'm not going to tell you about that. And then he's like, we got friendly down in the sand. Like, he's being like a teenager, kind of being, you know, like, oh, you know how it is. Like, he's
these guys
to be cool.
are like, I'm gonna eat her asshole out. I'll tell you what. That's the, you know, I swear to God, I'm going to grab him and fucking
She's
eat her asshole
nymphoid.
Out. You know, I have no fucking idea what I'm going to do to her. I got a giant dildo at home. I'm going to fucking ram it. They're like that. They're like disgusting old creeps.
Yeah, I got to take some Cialis before she
I'm
comes
gonna
over.
Pop a couple Viagra. I'm going to fuck it till she can't walk no more. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
She's going to drag her out here on a fucking stretcher. That's what they're like. They're disgusting people.
I'm gonna stick my fingers in her and roll her down the alley.
Oh, I'm going to get a strike. Look at that, sweetheart. It's gross.
I'm going to hit a turkey with that lady. Ugh. Yuck. Anyway, none of these songs make sense. I am continuing my journey to leave my body. The students at Rydell used to be terrified of all the teachers, including but not limited to Sid Caesar.
Anybody.
Anyone. They didn't want anybody to be mad at them. I mean, Blanche, too.
Even the bad kids were like, oh, you know, the whole point was to be like all phony to the teachers
the
and then go do a bunch of bad shit.
The Tucci guy was like, yes, Mrs. So-and-so.
Yeah, yes, like, you know, these people are all just like, I don't know, fuck you.
And then Zuko's like, oh, yeah, you were real tough. You really showed her. And they're like, you know, it's like, shut up. Like, you know, they're making
fun of each other.
They're
like 40. Teenagers.
They're 40, but they're acting like teenagers.
Yeah, yeah.
James and I were talking about how cool it was. It must have been for Rizzo. So we looked it up. Rizzo was, I think, 14 or 15 in 1959. Stockard Channing was, I'm sorry, yeah.
Yeah, she
Stockard
was
Channing
15.
Would have been 15 when in 1959. So when you're 15, you think that 18-year-old girls are fucking cool. And then when you get to be 18, you're like, I'm still not that cool.
So when she's 35, she got to basically play her high school self.
Yeah, what
as
she
her high
like wanted.
Self.
Like what she saw was like the
Which
cool
is like,
girl. I thought that was really awesome.
It's kind of cool. And that's why she actually was kind of good at it, too.
Yeah. She's just good at in everything. But the British man saves up a lot of money doing homework for everyone. He buys a motorcycle. We have no idea how long he has been saving.
Even a short amount of time,
he might be overcharging.
I think so.
But they're so stupid at this school, it doesn't even matter.
Well, yeah, they're impressed that he knows, like, just English words. They're like, oh, wow, he's so smart.
Yeah, because she said, like, he, you know, at one point he's rewriting Michelle Pfeiffer's essay, and he's like, oh, tormented by this incestuous relationship. And she's like, ha, I can't wait for my teacher to read that. And
yeah,
it's like,
oh my God.
You mean, what a... It's a regular sentence. It's not a big deal.
Right. Oh my, look at you. What are you, the Queen of England?
Yeah. We are never not hearing musical numbers at this point. Whenever there is not a school-wide performed number, we are definitely in the talent show. So we're watching everybody rehearse for the talent show. All of the female adults, like the teachers in this movie, are sexually predatory on the students, like on the male students.
Yeah, every
they're
single
all
one of them.
Like Blanche is always like just drooling over the T-Birds, just drooling.
They're fucking so weird.
And then so one of them are these three guys, and they are a good little a cappella group, and they're singing Mr. Sandman. I'm a little bit embarrassed, but not really. I don't know what lyrics I thought was in Mr. Sandman, but when they said like, "Please turn on your magic beam." And, you know, please turn on your magic beam.
Yes.
Mr. Sandman, bring me a dream. Or send me a dream, I'm sorry.
Whatever.
I don't know why I thought it was please turn on your magic beans.
Well.
But I definitely did, and I like it.
There's been magic beans in the past. How many magic beams have you seen? I've heard more magic bean stories than magic beam stories, so you know what? That makes sense.
Please turn
You're
on
fine.
Your magic beam.
You're fine.
I don't know why. I like my song better. Crater Face is outside the bowling alley, and he probably has to be at work in the morning, so it doesn't seem wise. All the T-Birds are playing like arcade games at the bowling alley, which kind of seems like a younger teenage thing to do, like maybe 14, 15. But it seems like when I was 18, I would do anything possible to get away from like little kid stuff.
Yeah, when you're 17, you wouldn't drive to a place with arcade games to play them and then drive away.
Yeah.
That's no. You get dropped off by your parents at a place like that.
Yeah, like the Stranger Things
kids. You ride your bike there. Yeah.
They're like, you know, 11, 12, and the Stranger Things kids are like, we're going to go play the arcade.
I was thinking when I did that, and it was definitely not after I had, you know, mobility. Once I had fucking an automobile there, I was definitely not going to the arcade at that point.
The T-Birds go outside to confront Crater Face and the rest of his bike gang, and they prove once and for all that you can't bring a comb to a bike fight. They, like, you know, they're getting like a cigarette ready and they're combing their hair back and they're doing the little thing with the curling the hair and whatever.
Like they're about to sing Grease Lightning. But of course they're not.
No, they're going to go sing Cool Cool Rider. A mystery man. Oh, no, they're going to sing Who's That Guy? We know that.
Yeah.
A mystery man on a motorcycle pulls up and kicks Crater Face off of the bike. We have another musical number where we're saying, Who's That Guy?
It sounds like Witchy Woman.
Yeah.
By the
Eagles.
That's it. That's exactly what the fuck the music is. Every song in this movie is sort of derivative of like one of them sounds like a Steely Dan song.
Yep.
It's fucking weird. I don't know why they're doing that, but
he's driving like towards Crater Face and the gang. So he falls off of a motorcycle kind of like at first when he's trying it, and Frenchie's like, "What are you doing?" But now
he can't
like
ride 4 feet.
He's like a motorcycle expert.
He's Evel Knievel. He's leaping things, like he's, you know, jumping shit. Yeah. He's like a stunt rider now.
Yeah, he's a stunt rider, and the pink ladies are now using this as an opportunity because they're all like, you know, Michelle Pfeiffer is really lusting after this mystery guy, but everybody's kind of like, "Whoa, like who is this guy?" And so the pink ladies are like, "Listen, you know, Michelle Pfeiffer, there's a lot of people, there's a lot of talks going on. They're questioning your loyalty to the T-Bird. Code says that we're T-Bird's chicks. So, you know, we have to go out with the T-Birds.
Pick a T-Bird and bang them."
Yeah. And Michelle Pfeiffer says, you know, "Maybe I'm tired of being somebody's chick." Okay. I mean, it's a valid
sure,
point,
Fife.
But whatever you got to do.
Do it up.
So now we understand that there's a little bit of internal turmoil for the Fifes. She's just, you know, maybe this is not what she wants to do with herself or her.
I mean, maybe not, but it's like the end of your who cares?
There was never any talk of code in the first one.
No, there
was
no talk
like,
of code.
Like Rizzo, I never felt like was like, "Oh, I'm just so sick and tired of being a pink lady." Like she was just like, the pink lady was an attitude. It was a...
And they were happy to be pink ladies, and they were like,
proud
I don't know if
pink.
Sandy's good enough to be a pink lady.
She's too pure to be pink. Like, it was a badge of honor to be a
that's,
pink lady.
The pink ladies were kind of like, in the first one, and we read about in the play, the pink ladies were supposed to be like tough chicks. They were supposed to be like chicks who like carried knives and like fucked in the back seats of cars and like, you know, were like tough and cool and badass, not like pussies that hang out at a bowling alley and fucking talk to Shooter McGavin. And
they're having slumber parties at each other's houses and they're fucking crawling out of the
they're drinking
the
wine and sneaking
and
out.
They're writing letters to everybody,
piercing each other's ears.
They were getting up to some shenanigans, and it's just like these ones are like, "Oh, I gotta do my Shakespeare essay." It's like, who cares?
Will you help me with my Shakespeare essay?
So now the British guy is talking to Frenchie in the chemistry lab, and he says, like, you know, "Next time I see Michelle Pfeiffer, I'm going to tell her that it was me." The pink ladies were actually kind of rude to Frenchie and making fun of her. Meanwhile, Frenchie ran so that these bitches could bowl. Okay.
That's what I'm saying.
She was the original pink lady, and she should absolutely flex on these hoes and be
she should.
"I don't care about you or your problems. I hope you all flunk English."
I'll call Rizzo. She's 40. She'll come over here and bitch slap every one of you.
Yeah. And she'll put out a cigarette on you.
She knows, like, all of your moms.
Yeah.
So don't think she won't
and
tell
your
on
dads.
You.
And
she's
your absolutely going to fuck your dads.
She has blown all of your dads except for yours. He's been in prison for a while, so
wow.
She hasn't had the chance.
This is very sad. These children have very sad lives.
They do.
But no, like, it just didn't make any sense to me because the grades thing was weird. At the end of the year, the T-Birds in the first one were like, how, fuck, we have to take summer school. Like, yeah. they were never paying attention to the what accumulated of all of their grades. They were like, are you kidding me? Like, I have to take summer school. Like, I only didn't do anything all year.
Now
I've got to take summer school. Like,
yeah.
That's how cool they were. Is that they were like, I don't even care about like what's happening on the day to day.
No, and now
and
these
now
guys
it's all
are
caught up to me.
Fucking, they don't give a shit. They're all, I need to get my grades up.
Yeah,
my God.
And one of the T-Birds brings one of the pink ladies down to a nuclear bomb shelter. What did he say?
A nucleoid, I think he said.
Nucleoid.
Nucleoid. She was like, "It's nuclear," and he's like, "Whatever, nucleoid, nuclear."
It's a nucleoid fallout shelter.
I'm gonna show you around in here, and he takes her in there. And
by the way, I'd be so claustrophobic in there. I'd be like, "Yeah, this is cool. Why did you shut the door?" And
it's a corrugated metal shed, by the way. That's all it is.
He also like. So
some nuclear fallout protection.
I don't know why she thinks that she can open the door, because like, he shuts it, and then like, why didn't she just try to open it immediately afterwards?
Well, they were looking around, and then they cranked up the air raid siren.
Yeah, that's gross. This whole scene was very rapey. So he brings her down to the nuclear fallout shelter. His friends are outside, and they have that alarm thing.
Okay,
No, they gotta try. No.
And I agree with that. But
I just think it's weird to try to trick her into having sex.
I agree, but if you come up with an entire musical number, I feel like that your intentions are very well stated at that point. You're not. There's no surprise there. That's all I meant. I'm not saying it's not rapey. I'm saying
this is another one of James's weird rules. Yeah. Where if you are given the class ring, you are guaranteed boob.
Well, in 1959, that was the transaction.
When?
I wasn't saying
where
that now.
Where is that rule written down?
In 1959,
nowhere.
If I say, here's my class ring, and you go, I accept it, you're going, please feel my boob now.
No, that was not what I would say at all.
It was a transaction back then, I'm saying. It wasn't like you were allowed to feel people's boobs against their will. The fact that she took the ring means that she wants you to touch her boob in 1959.
Listen.
Not now, and maybe not in 1960, but in 1959.
I would be murdered if I was in the 50s. I would be dead, because they'd be like, wow, she's real mouthy. Doesn't like to do anything. Okay, so anyway, they have this whole number, the most romantic song of our lifetime. Let's do it for our country. And then he says,
so bad. Let's do it for our country. I don't even know how
it goes.
The
red, white, and the blue.
They never say that, even though that would rhyme with things. The whole time I'm like, say red, white, and blue, and they never say it. They always say, our country wants us to, or some shit. But it's so not catchy, I can't even get the tune.
Okay.
That's how bad it is.
If James were to say to me that we're doing it for the Statue of Liberty, Sharon, you'd have to.
I guess so.
If you're like, oh, we're doing it for the Statue of Liberty.
And the Grand Canyon, she says, which I don't know why the Grand Canyon would care who you fuck. But okay.
Bunker sex has been thwarted because he's like, okay, cool. Like, let's, you know, we're going to do this for our country.
They're about to. Yeah.
She gets up and she's like, okay, I'm ready to go. Like, she like wants to fight.
She wants to go. Yeah, she wants to go
serve.
Yeah, she wants to go fight the Russians rather than bang him.
Which is, I mean, I guess that was a good ad for the military, because she was like, okay, cool, like let's go. I'm ready to be a nurse. I'm ready to, you know, serve.
Yeah.
I'm ready to serve my country.
This feels like it wanted to be like a bit of Porky's too. Like I feel like it's like.
Yep, I see that,
because there's a big difference between 1977 and 1982. Like a huge fucking difference in the United States. It's so different from then to then. And I feel like by the time 82 came around and this movie came out, that's what was popular at that time, was Porky's and like shit like that. And like that kind of teen silliness, sexually charged romp kind of a thing. And I think they tried to add elements to it and make it. But then it feels like an 80s movie when you do that. Yeah. It doesn't feel like so. They fucked it all up.
They fucked it up.
It's neither fish nor fowl, I would say, of this movie.
No. The Fifes is at work. She works at like a mechanic shop or something like that. It's her dad's. She has absolutely just terrible multitasking skills. She's in the middle of taking payment from one guy, owes him change. But some guy's like, hey, can you wash my windshield? And she's like, okay. And then the guy's like, hey, where's my change? And then somebody else wants a map. And then the fucking British guy shows up on his fucking motorcycle and then gets her to abandon her post. And then she's doing some unsafe maneuvers, and then her dad's like, dude, what are you doing? And meanwhile, she's like spinning around on the fucking motorcycle.
They're driving 50 down the road, and she's behind him on the motorcycle, and she swings around to straddle him while he's driving 50 miles an hour on a fucking motorcycle. It's like, do you know how weight distribution works and shit? One little tip and he's going to fall over and you're both going to die. Especially because you have no helmet on.
She does want a cool rider. She's gonna have a cool road rash.
That's what she's got. Fucking fractured skull in a minute because she's got no helmet on and she's trying to mount a guy as she drives.
Cool cast on.
Cool halo cast. Holy shit.
Okay, so the British guy is spending the day really making out with the Fifes. The T-Birds show up at her work when she is getting dropped off by the British guy. There's a huge argument where Non Travolta says to the Fifes that no chick of his is going to be involved with any other creep except for him. Paulette is justifiably upset.
Yeah, she's like, I'm not your chick. What's going on?
Yeah. Let's talk about who belongs to who here, you know, because as far as I'm concerned, we have been exclusive. We have been whatever. And here you are saying this. So all the other gals are mad in defense of their friend, which good for them. I was like, all right, pink ladies, here we go. So now the boys are all, I guess, frustrated, and they're singing a song about their sexual frustration. And they're like, let's all go. I think it's called Prowling, this song. And they're like, let's go find a place where we're going to score. And I was like, oh, no,
right.
Please don't go back to the bowling alley.
Yeah.
And then they said that they can score at the grocery store, which I was like, excuse you.
But they don't go anywhere to score. They sing a song about let's go score. But it turns into a stage show at one point.
And they're practicing for the talent show.
Yeah, it transitions right from let's go to a place where we can score, and they sing a song about that, and then they're in a parking lot, and then it cuts to them like on a stage singing it, where he's got like an old-timey Nat King Cole fucking microphone in the front, and the other three are like his guys in the background, and then they're at school practicing for the talent show, and there's no talk of what the fuck is going on.
Yeah.
This isn't like in real world. This is like an acid trip.
Leave everybody alone at the grocery store.
That too.
We're just trying to get our groceries and get out of here.
There's business to be done there.
We're visiting the food. They're the perfect friends there at the grocery store. They're always very busy. So just leave everybody alone. Don't try to
prey
on the grocery store people.
Yeah, I don't know what. Jesus Christ. But
they all have girlfriends, though. So I don't understand what they're mad about. They're like, let's go find a place where we can score. It's like, well, maybe if you weren't such a shitbag, you guys all have girlfriends.
You maybe could score with them.
Yeah. And also, the other girls weren't mad at you guys. They were mad at Non Travolta. So it's like, I don't know what Shooter McGavin's doing.
Yeah,
she's not mad at Shooter McGavin.
Yeah, and how come the one guy doesn't even have his own bike? He has a sidecar on Shooter McGavin's.
I felt so bad for Davey.
Yeah, Davey's a problem.
He's
a sad. He's like Sean Astin, and that's kind of like he looks like Sean Astin even.
Come on, guys. Fife's got a bad grade on her paper, and this is where she has to rewrite her essay. So she goes to a diner. Oh, the British guy talks her into, like, hey, listen, like, I'll be your tutor. And so they go to the diner, which is where you'd think that they would be fucking going anyway. She orders a hamburger. She's very upset because there's no ketchup on it, even though she asked for it. There's probably ketchup on your table, Michelle Pfeiffer. Like,
there was.
It's totally fine. You're going to be okay.
She just asked him to pass it, and then she had ketchup.
I know. So you're okay, because she's like immediately acting like a 40-year-old woman. She's like, there's no ketchup on this. And it's like, well, okay, but you can put your own ketchup.
It's fine. She's like, they never put ketchup on it. Even when you ask for it, they don't put it on.
And so this guy is absolutely smitten over Michelle Pfeiffer because even though she says in one of her lines on her essay, which is a very 80s thing to say, Hamlet went totally nuts on his mom after he found out she screwed his uncle.
Yeah.
And he says that you should say perhaps, you know, Hamlet was tormented.
Yeah, this is
by
what we're talking
the
about.
Incestuous relationship and whatever. And she is just like, oh, you know, whatever. And then he's like, oh, I'll have a hamburger with ketchup. She's like, double the ketchup. Gross. Yeah,
double ketchup. I'm like, why?
If the food is good, you don't need to put ketchup on it.
I've never had a hamburger that was good enough to not put ketchup on, but
I've had many hamburgers that were good enough to not have ketchup on it.
You just don't really like ketchup. That's why.
No.
I like ketchup. It's good. It's good on a hamburger. I like ketchup and mustard and pickles. It's excellent.
Deep
That's
breaths,
what I want.
Sarah, deep breaths.
deep breaths because ketchup on a hamburger?
Michelle Pfeiffer tells the British guy.
Yeah, that's super weird, guys.
Outside that the
hey, everybody,
birds can only
you're
go
freaks.
Out with the pink lady.
Freaks! You put ketchup on a hamburger, you freaks. What's wrong with you?
Shh.
You
we're
lousy
in the middle
fucks.
Of this. That she, Michelle
you're
Pfeiffer,
the freak.
I'm not the freak.
Yes, you are.
No.
Freak. Freak.
This is not nice.
You're no longer in the pink ladies.
No, I am exclusively in the pink ladies.
Take your jacket.
You're not in the pink ladies.
That's it. Take her jacket, somebody.
Okay.
Pfeiffer, Michelle. Get back in here.
Michelle? Come back, Michelle. Take her jacket from her.
Are you ready to continue to talk about this?
No, that's okay. Why I keep saying stuff because I don't want to talk about it anymore.
Michelle Pfeiffer is outside because the British guy keeps trying to ask her out. And so she says that, you know, T-Birds can only go out with pink ladies. Like, I'm sorry, I can't go out with you. Even though I very clearly have broken up with Non Travolta. Like, I, you know, I can't go out with you until graduation. Then Non Travolta and Shooter McGavin show up, and Non Travolta officially breaks up with the Fifes, and he says that she has to turn in her pink lady's jacket because that's T-Bird's property.
That's where we get the
no, we have a lot
franchise.
Of questions about the franchising yeah. and all that stuff, so you
that's,
know,
yeah, I don't
somebody
think...
who knows anything about that, please let us know.
If you're anywhere in the corporate structure, possibly, you know, how yeah. they're set up.
Or even if you were an ex-member of the corporate structure of the T-Birds and the Pink Ladies.
Yeah, it's anonymity is fine. You can
yeah,
speak under
just,
whatever.
Just send us a message. It's
I
okay.
would like to know how it works.
How come all of the T-Birds are dumb here? Because Danny Zuko... they're like super dumb because he's like, you know, was did the nerd get the girl? And then, you know, Shooter McGavin's like, why? What happened? I thought she broke up with you. And he's like, no, versa. Like,
yeah, there's
they're everybody's like 45-year-old dad that doesn't know like what he's saying.
Hey, I don't know what to say. They're all
mental stration.
They all have it's all gross. Like a, it's all like just a bad joke. Like, yeah. Oh, what's a word he could any word that's over two syllables, they're gonna screw yeah. it up in a comical quote unquote way.
Versa vice was almost said like irregardless.
Yeah,
irregardless. Like, you know, it's like a made up word and like, but they say it very passionately.
Yeah, he hit it real hard. That's why it wasn't like he hit it real hard to go. Look how dumb I am.
Yeah, because if as long as you say it with passion and excitement, I suppose, you know, people will be like, oh.
Yeah. But I mean,
I love that.
He could have acted like he really believed that by selling it correctly. But this guy's
said it wrong.
What's his name? Is a fucking what's the fuck? What is his
Shooter
idiot's
McGavin?
Name? No,
it's like Christopher McDonald or something like that.
No. The main guy, Danny Zuko wannabe. What
Adrian
the hell?
Adrian
Zemed. He thank you. I don't know why his name was escaping for me.
And he's like 5'5".
He is fucking terrible as an actor. He's a bad actor. That's the other thing. He is 5'5". No offense, short guys, but if you're going to make like the cool leader of the, you know, cool, attractive pack. Guys pack, he probably shouldn't be 5'5". Maybe make him fucking 5'9".
Like, Kaneki was taller than Danny Zuko, which
yeah,
is fine.
But Danny Zuko
but, like,
wasn't
Danny
short.
Zuko had the personality to
and
like,
he wasn't short.
He's, yeah,
he's like 5'10".
Like,
yeah. He's fine, you know. That's
where he has a taller personality.
Yeah,
Adrian
yeah.
Zemed doesn't have a taller personality.
No, he's like... this little tiny guy yeah. who's like, hey, guys, listen, man. Like,
we have a British guy solo song. Now everybody's asking for homework help from the British guy. I mean, he's going to not even have time to do his own homework.
No.
But he will be raking in the dough. So that's good.
But he's got his motorcycle. He's already jumping fucking cars and shit. What does he need more money
yeah,
for
he
now?
He did jump a cop car.
Yeah, he jumped a cop car after he fucking made Crater Face's gang look silly.
Not even yet. So now we're at the talent show. Oh, yeah, that's right. The British guy says to Michelle Pfeiffer that if she wants to see him again, he'll see her like on Friday at the talent show. And she's like, talent show?
How does he know?
It's like, yeah, he goes to your school. Like, that's what that means. It's not even like, yeah, like, and she's like, how does he know? And it's like, because he goes to your school. That's how.
He knows you, stupid. Move on.
I would be like, oh, I wonder what person I've run into at school.
Yeah, who could this be?
And also, it's a mystery person. And you're like, well, I feel like I would recognize that person. Oh, yeah, we do have a new guy from England. It's probably him.
Might be him, you know.
I think this is the end of the year talent show. Michelle Pfeiffer looking like she's auditioning for Bananarama for her talent show outfit.
Completely, yeah.
We have a car chase here. And they're, you know, they're the T-Birds are chasing after the motorcycle, the British guy.
Yeah, the T-Birds are chasing the motorcycles of the T-Birds are chasing the motorcycle of the British guy.
Yeah.
And then the pink ladies are following behind in their car.
In their car. And they're all like, I did love this line. One of the girls says, "We're going to die and I'm wearing my mother's underwear." I was like, ew, that's gross.
Yeah, why are you wearing your mother's
underwear? It's not going to be like a used underwear, but still. I'm not going to go into my mom's drawer and be like, "What's up? Let me borrow some of your underwear."
Yeah, that's creepy.
They go on this one road called Dead Man's Curve, and I had hoped that this was going to be like, you know, we're going to do this motorcycle race, and there's Dead Man's Curve. Like, I thought that Dead Man's Curve would be like Thunder Road, but it's like you just get introduced to this deadly curve, and you're like, oh my God.
And then he just jumps it.
So he jumps it. Everybody thinks that the mystery man is dead.
Oh, it's like 100 feet. There's no way he made it.
And I wanted him to be dead at this part of the movie.
I would have loved for him to be dead. I would have loved for like an ambulance to show up and wheel him away.
But everybody just looks around like, okay, he's probably dead. It's fine. We're going to be late. We have to get to the talent show.
That's what they're like. I mean, and people die every day and they just left.
Yeah. And we're, you know, we chased him to his death. So that's not a problem. But like Michelle Pfeiffer is the only person who's acting like kind of normal. Because she kind of leaves her body for a second and she's acting like, holy shit, like we just watched somebody die, I think.
Yeah.
But everybody else is like doing the performance of their life.
Oh.
Because the adrenaline from that had to make stage fright seem like nothing.
Yeah, they were arguing about their stage outfits and shit rather than, hey, we just killed a man.
Yeah.
Like that doesn't come up at all.
Did you ever do the talent show?
Fuck no. Does it look like I didn't participate in anything. I wasn't a school participant.
I hosted a talent show.
I spent the minimal amount of time in school that was fucking federally required of me.
You're a cool writer, aren't you?
I guess maybe. I was just not want to be there guy.
I emceed the talent show when
Oh, wow.
School.
Yeah, no, I wasn't doing that.
Because then that way I didn't have to do much. And I crushed it.
Good, nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. I did nothing.
I don't mean to brag. I had some like really good like one-liners. I did great.
Nice work.
Just letting you guys know.
Looking for somebody for like
in case you'd like for me to host
a bar mitzvah MC or
some
shit.
Yeah, if you want me to host your next talent show or anything like that, like I am available.
She'll do it.
Yeah. And I'll do a great job.
She will.
I'll do a great job.
Knock it out of the park.
Yeah, I can give you some references. Okay. Okay. Non Travolta gets upset with Paulette's outfit. It's none of his business. She is going to be Summer, so she looked beautiful. She had an outfit on. I mean, her vagina was not out.
Oh, who cares?
She
kind of,
she had like a sweetheart. I think that's a sweetheart neckline, but like it was a strapless outfit. She looked great.
I don't care if she was nude and projecting her butthole onto the back wall of the fucking theater at this point. I don't care.
Well, maybe.
Fuck all of these people.
So she's upset and she's like, you know, guess what, buddy boy? I'll wear whatever I want. I'll do whatever I want. You're not going to fucking boss anybody around anymore. Like, and especially not me. And you're like, wow, yeah. Non Travolta is a very toxic partner. He's a bad friend.
He's not a good guy.
And he's like still controlling Michelle Pfeiffer, even and not respecting her boundaries, even though she clearly said, like, from the beginning of the school year, we're not dating anymore. Like, you know, I don't want to date you anymore. And he's just like, no, well, either you're going to be with me or you're going to be with nobody. And it's like, that's not really the attitude to have. It's okay. Handle rejection. It's all good.
Handle
and
rejection.
And also, you have Paulette, who is wonderful.
Yeah, and she likes you. What the hell?
Yeah, she's enthusiastic. Like, I don't know what the problem is.
He says he's banging her. So, I mean, what are we talking about?
Yeah, here? It's not even like you have to, you know, you're not like, oh, I'm trying to seal the deal. Like, you're already signed, sealed, delivered, my man.
Down
like,
here.
You're doing great. The T-Birds tied up their competition, the acapella guys, in the showers, and they turned the water on, but like they tied them together and they can still walk.
Oh, they just tied them around their arms and then stuck them in front of the showers, and the guy stood there, oh God, we can't get away. Meanwhile, they could just use their legs and walk.
Yeah, nothing about this bullying tactic makes any sense.
No.
The T-Birds are also helping out with, and they were like, we stink at singing, but their performance was actually pretty good, and that was upsetting.
Yeah,
they were fine.
Much like you can go from never being on a motorcycle to doing fucking jumping a canyon on it in the next breath a month later, you can go from no musical talent to having a serviceable a cappella group in fucking...
You might as well be the Four Seasons.
2 weeks, basically.
Yeah.
One practice.
Frankie Valli.
Practically Frankie Valli.
The T-Birds help out the Pink Ladies with their performance. They're doing, like, they're opening up the door to introduce each of the girls of all seasons. The Fifes is not singing her portion of the song. She is winter, so she's Christmas.
She's like zoning.
She's December.
She's got ornaments hanging off her shirt.
She's got ornaments. This is a very festive outfit, and I want to get it Usually James and I host Christmas Eve, probably not this year, but no. I will still wear the outfit whether or not we have 30 guests or not. But I want this outfit for Christmas is essentially what I want. So if anybody sees it like on eBay, as long as it's not a lot of money,
yeah,
it'd be great.
We would like to have it. We're going to get that.
So she's not singing her portion of the song. She's got like a little PTSD. It seems like she's seen some action in the war.
And then
she starts singing her own improv song instead of A Girl for All Seasons.
Yeah, she's supposed to be fucking winter, throwing down her winter. Yeah. That we sang, you know, spring, fall, summer and fall, yeah. And now she sings about some guy.
Now she's singing about the winter of our discontent, where the mystery man is dead. Heaven has a motorcycle. The motorcycle mystery guy has a silver suit on, and he's
God.
Don't worry about me. You know I'm fine. And she's like crying. And
the set looks like a bad early 80s music video,
yeah.
Where like it looks like they're in a junkyard where they've covered everything in silver spray paint
and white,
dust,
yeah.
And
yeah.
Like dust and dirt. And they're like, and there's like smoke, and they're, she's like, she's like running to him from across the junkyard with, and like through the smoke as he like takes his bicycle, his motorcycle. I'm like, what the fuck is going on?
This reminded me of that Rem Lazar song, the way
that
it was.
It really is. That's exactly what it's like. It's like, it's as trippy as fucking Rem Lazar, if you've seen, if you know what
Google
that is.
Google Rem Lazar.
Google Rem Lazar, and you'll
R-E-M-
go, whoa.
L A Z A R.
L E Z A R.
Oh, L E?
Lazar.
Oh, Lazar.
Yeah.
Okay. It doesn't matter. One of
you'll
the,
get
one
it.
Of the
you'll see
and
go, what the fuck is that?
This I could only...
Rem Lazar, that's what it's like.
The joy that I get from this boy.
Oh my God.
The songs are better than in Grease 2. Okay.
They really are. At least they make sense to this fucking story.
Okay, so this scene kind of reminded me of Frankie Avalon singing Beauty School Dropout. So, because everything is like white and it's like magical and there's like angels and like little like, you know, hair... dryer things and like whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So she has on like a toga outfit type thing, and then he's got this like silver jumpsuit on, and he's got goggles, and he's got a silver, you know, whatever, and then like the motorcycle, whatever. Heaven has a motorcycle, according to Michelle Pfeiffer.
And she's in like a medieval outfit almost. She has like a
It looks very like much like medieval, Helen of Troy.
Yeah, like a low very, cut like what a Victor like a medieval woman would wear to bed at night. That's what it looks like she's wearing.
Yes.
And it's so strange. She's running through the smoke. I don't know.
Yeah. So then at the end of the show, because she's still in her Christmas outfit singing about like, you're dead and I love you.
Yeah.
And what am I supposed to do? And like, basically she's saying like the whole song is, you know, we chased you and I watched you die.
Yeah.
And everybody stands up and
sort
cheers.
Sort of killed you.
Everybody stands up and cheers.
Standing up.
And they're like, did she say that they murdered somebody?
Shit, fuck it. Standing up.
She's crying. So there's good. That's good. Way to go. So then we find out that that Michelle Pfeiffer won Best Female Performance and Non Travolta won Best Male Performance.
Yeah, rather than a talent show being which best act was.
Those are not the rules
the
of
window.
The talent show. This is a group win if, you know, if it's like the Girls of All Seasons. Because, and I felt really bad because the other girl that like coordinated everything. The one
it was her.
That was her.
This is her show.
That was her fucking piece there, and it was well done.
It
the
really
costuming
was
great. I love the
Fife's
set design.
Came in and improvised a song at the end, which
didn't even give two flying fucks about it. And then she just fucking gets. I was like, ugh. And then acted ungrateful for the opportunity.
Yeah, she sat there all bummed out because her boyfriend died.
Yeah.
So
dumb
whiner.
Like, I was like, listen, that lady fucking choreographed the whole thing. She designed the whole thing. Like, fuck you.
Yeah.
Give her the fucking
all of this
accolades.
To be king and queen of the luau.
King and queen of the luau. So they're having an end of the year luau for everybody where it seems very unsafe. There is a pool that has fire in the middle of it.
Of the pool. And all the children are doing a choreographed number.
Where they're all thrusting.
Luau, luau, luau. And they're like thrusting and saying
weren't
luau
you,
a lot.
Weren't you? It was like rock and roll a hula luau.
Yeah,
or
something
like
some
that.
Bullshit
but
like
weren't
that.
You waiting for like the boys to call it, the T-Birds to call it like a come on, I want to lay ya.
That's yeah, because
that's
that
the level
been
of
the,
cheesiness in this movie.
That's
is
the
like
joke that you would
weird
expect.
Sexual,
it, yeah.
Whatever. Michelle Pfeiffer and Non Travolta are being carried by a bunch of dudes into the pool. Like they have, I don't know what that's called. they're being carried on the shoulders. I only know that they did that in wrestling
when they bring the king to the moon ring.
Royal Rumble, they bring Haku out and they have all the jobbers carrying him, all the pallbearers.
You're up on the platform.
I don't know
throne.
What that's called, but that's you Whatever. Guys know what I'm talking
they're
about.
They're being carried out there by a bunch of shirtless teenagers,
and they have a bunch of luau clothes on. They're just like wearing these outfits, which is
They all have Hawaiian outfits on.
They all have hula skirts. They all have lace.
Dudes are
wearing sarongs. And it just seems like this is a really weird, like, they're all practicing for the talent show. And then now they all have to, like, know the luau number.
They all have to know the luau number so they can support the king and queen of the luau and bring them to the fire pool.
It seems more like this, like a high school. It seems more like this should be like an island.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you missed this part, too.
There's a cultural at this high school.
Yeah, it doesn't seem to make sense for this high school. They brought them in on this big wooden platform, Michelle Pfeiffer and fucking Danny Zuko Light there. They bring them in on this Diet Zuko. They bring in Zuko with Splenda, and they fucking they're on a giant wooden platform is what they bring them in, like a giant like double throne almost, but they're facing each other.
Yeah, with like bamboo.
And they place them into the water that is full of fire.
But no, because it was on fire.
Yeah.
And then it's just magically out.
Oh, okay. I was like the middle of that pool. If they drift a little bit, that thing's going up in flames and they're going to die.
That's what I was like. I saw the thing, and then they're like, we're going to bring them into the eternity pool. And I'm like, oh boy, eternity pool. I'm like, oh, are they going to
die there? That's why. You're going to die tonight. That's why it's eternity, bitches.
You're going to be dead for all seasons. So anyway, Craterface and the crew shows up on their motorcycles and they trash the school luau, which is a ballsy move because they are adults. They could go to prison for this.
They burst through the fucking...
full speed on their motorcycles.
Through the fences with their... They have like these... It's like in somebody's yard.
Yeah,
they bust right through the wooden fences right into these people's yards.
And like then all these children all these teenagers have to scatter and like jump and like take cover.
Yeah.
And they're just like terrorizing everybody on these motorcycles.
Tearing it up.
Yeah. They are like, it's dangerous, but they're not seniors in high school anymore. So they're not going to be like, oh, boys will be boys. Like, no, you're grown men now. Like, just because you're mad at the T-Birds, don't take it out on
nothing.
The luau.
Don't take it out on the luau.
We're trying to have a luau here, sir.
So what? I don't even remember
British
how
guy,
they thwart. Oh,
British guy
right.
is back.
He's not
jumping,
dead.
And
hey.
He's an expert biker. And this is where I thought maybe that this is just his natural God-given talent. He just, like, you know, picks it up.
Maybe he doesn't know it yet.
You know, then... So he, like, fights
Hakeem
all
Olajuwon them. Didn't start playing basketball till, you know, he was 18.
Captain Lee didn't start captaining boats until he was 35.
I mean, it makes sense. It makes sense a lot. So, either way.
Yeah. So, anyway... He takes off his goggles because it's time to reveal his identity, and everybody's just looking at him, you know, while he's taking his goggles off, like, is he man or is he motorcycle?
Yeah, is he going
like,
to like,
oh my God,
is this like, Freddy Krueger under there? What's happening?
So Michelle Pfeiffer is just kind of like, that's cool. I'm really glad that it's him. And the non-Travolta gives him a T-Bird jacket. Everybody's very excited about this.
He just lets him in the T-Birds.
But I don't know why, because it's not like he spent all school year trying to get in. And like Paulette's like, I'll give him the T-Bird.
Yeah,
no. Like, what are you doing?
Looks like you're finally in. He was like, I never asked to be in the T-Birds. Why would he want to be in the T-Birds?
Yeah,
so he can do their homework for free?
Exactly. Like, oh, now, no. I've been making some money off of you, so I'm continuing to make money off of you. And also, I just wanted to go out with Michelle Pfeiffer.
Yeah, well, I assume that was to keep the fact that he can be a T-Bird so he can go out with Michelle Pfeiffer because she's a pink lady and she's going to stay a pink lady.
Now they accept him.
That way when they go to part three, the pink lady T-Bird thing is still together and the same, I feel like.
And I thought here, I was like, what if the Fifes already gave up her jacket? Like, you know, what if she, like, you know, outside of that diner was like,
you know what,
fine, fuck it. I don't want to be a pink lady anymore.
And she walked away.
There's literally music in every part of this movie except over them making out the loudest at this part here.
No score whatsoever. First time in the whole movie, all you hear is a blah, 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 and they're
it
on
sounds
top.
Like, what? It sounds like Benny licking his butt.
Yeah, it really does.
And then I think this is going to be the last musical number. I actually had to hit the button to make
Christ,
sure.
Christ, I forgot there was another
that one. I was like, I hope that this is the last one, because you never know with this movie. And this luau seems exactly like what I think the Jim Jones cult did right before they all drank Flavorade.
Probably.
And I was looking for the Flavor Aid.
Did a fucked up musical number.
So everybody's singing the, you know, we're all together. Like, you know,
yeah, like a
weird cult
song.
It's
a big slow dance. Mm-hmm. It's so weird.
And then it goes to them all in graduation gowns. I think that there was probably a production note from somebody. They're like, well, in the first Grease, it was implied that they graduated, but like, let's really show it happening this time.
Yeah, because in the first Grease at the end, they're like, oh, we're not going to be together anymore. Like, it's all over. When they're like, ah, we'll still hang out. Like, this was just like, we have to somehow, because otherwise there's no timeline to this at all. Like, we have to put a timeline at the end. We start in the first day of school. We end on fucking graduation. Yeah. At least that makes sense.
Yeah. And then they do, so everybody's graduated, and then everybody's taking a freeze frame picture at the end. Poor Davey, he's all by himself. It's over. It's done. Oh, my God.
Thank fuck. What a goddamn disaster. I don't even know what to do with my life now.
I do. I know
that?
What we should do.
Oh, I think I have an idea too.
Let's go to the haggle meter.
To the haggle meter.
The Heigl meter is our unit of measurement, the way we rate our movies on a scale of 1 Heigl to 5 Heigls, 5 Heigls being the worst movie you've ever seen in your entire life. 1 Heigl, not that bad.
Yeah, bearable.
This is our 50th episode, and I think that I have earned going first.
Please do.
No other reason other than just...
Go ahead.
We make our own rules here, James.
Sure.
All right. I'm just going to give this movie 5 cool Heigls. I hated this movie a lot. This is easily the worst movie we've ever had to watch.
Yeah.
That's it. It doesn't even deserve a formula.
Well,
so James,
this makes burlesque look like The Godfather. Let's just say that. This is a piece of fucking ever-loving shit.
Yeah.
I am going to give it 1,000,000 Heigls.
Wow.
This gets 1,000,000 Heigls. I can't even, there's no formula.
No.
Because this, you know what? Why should I concoct a formula when they didn't even bother to write a fucking script for this movie?
Exactly.
Or concoct a formula for the movie?
Could not agree
Songs
more.
That make sense. Suck a dick. You know what? 1,000,000 of those dicks I'd
a
like
million.
You to suck movie. Fuck you, 1,000,000 Heigls.
Yeah.
That's it.
If this was your favorite movie, or if this was your favorite way of remembering this movie, you can follow us on social media. We are Facebook, Twitter, Instagram.com/ You Got Heigled, YOUGOTHEIGLD. We do bonus episodes every other week on Patreon, on patreon.com/ You Got Heigled. That's where we do all of our bonus content about 90 Day Fiancé, Below Deck. We play Plotsy, where I show James movie posters that he's never seen before, and he tries to guess what the movie's about.
I'll write a plot.
Yeah, he
never write, but
I should have one of the next Plotsies should be you writing a better plot to this movie.
Okay.
Because there was none, so there's a lot of room for improvement.
Be really easy.
And then we also have a game where we make our own rom-com. This week, we're going to be doing my favorite activity, looking at old ads that don't make a lot of sense, like old housewife ads or food ads or, you know, McDonald's ads, that type of thing. I love that stuff. I do it, you know, on my Instagram every once in a while. But yeah, so we're patreon.com/ You Got Heigled. If you want to be a lovely person and just send money for the, you know, the good of whatever, it's PayPal. We're at yougotheigled@gmail.com. If you like this show, please rate and review on Apple Podcasts. 5 stars if you like it. If
Helps
you don't like
lot.
It, don't worry about it. Just fucking move on with your life. It's not that big of a deal.
Yeah. It's not like we made Grease 2 or anything. Chill out.
Yeah, it's not a big deal. We have merch. We're at heigleyourself.threadless.com. I think I put the link in the bio on all of our social media things. If you'd like to talk to me and tell me how much you don't like me or how much you don't like these movies or how dare I insult Grease 2, I am Twitter or Instagram.com/ Sarah H is funny. SARAHH is funny. I run a Complaints Monday where everybody can feel like it's fun to complain on Mondays. And every once in a while, I do some lovely old ads. And you can also buy my books on Amazon. They're full of my petty complaints. They're called Small Potatoes, Mouthwatering Musings of a Misanthrope, and Leftover Beef from a Lovable Curmudgeon. I'm so tired of talking about myself, James.
Yeah, just listen to Crime and Sports on Tuesdays and Small Town Murder on Thursdays. At Jimmy P is funny. If you want to follow me on social media, otherwise, that's it. You'll figure it out.
Last week, or last time that we convened, I am very sorry. Apparently, it just completely lost me to shout out our wonderful people who gave us money.
No.
I am so sorry about that.
You gotta correct it.
We got done and I posted the episode and I went,
yeah.
I was like, oh no, I forgot our lovely people. So James, if you will indulge me for
please,
a few.
Please, no, I want to hear these people. These are the good people.
These are the good people. We've got Ryan Benner, Jenna Real, Chris with no last name, Jenny Bukowski, Zach Altimus, Kyle. Jessica Clark, Valerie Ferguson, Ash Anderson, Helen J, Smit and Swallow, Jennifer Robbins, Anastasia De La Cruz, Jenny Scheib, Samantha Wynn, Scott Stevens, Laura Maloney, Rana Abshur, Hunter, Mort Erratic, Melody, Melanie Nguyen.
I never know how to say Nguyen.
I never know how to say that last name. I get taught it.
Never
just
go to Vietnam, ever.
But you'll they have good food there.
Oh, they will, yeah, but you'll mispronounce a lot of names.
No. I am committed to learn. I will learn.
You learn it.
Kim Miller, John Wojnar. I don't know. Jessica Thompson, Elizabeth Dixon, T. Grimes, Alex Hopper, Melissa Silsby, Krista Calvin, Megan. Just Megan, Jessica Hawkins, Kara S, Ashley Vio, my little birthday twin. Hey. I always mess up her name. I don't know why. I guess I have no respect for it. Just kidding. And Sarah Wedley, we thank you so much for hanging out with us and paying to hang out with us.
Yeah, thank you so much. We'll put our efforts into the Patreon as much as we possibly can.
Yes, we do. We try to have a lot of fun in these episodes, and as well as the Patreon episodes, we try to give you guys fun things and
yeah, so thank you for supporting us. We appreciate it.
We're sorry for giving you grease too.
We apologize so much.
We apologize and go heigl yourselves.
Go heigl yourselves, everybody.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.